Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, Mike Fratello does a great job on NBA TV.
Yes, the former head coach.
Former head coach.
The Hawks, Memphis. He's been everywhere.
He's been everywhere. Team's games, the Brooklyn Nets. And, of course, NBA TV's all over the All-Star game, which will be from L.A. You'll have access to the biggest stars from some of the weekend's most compelling moments. It'll be really, really good stuff. And, of course, you got the All-Star game Sunday night presented by Kia at 8:20 p.m. Simulcast on TNT and TBS. Coach Mike Fratello. Coach, how are you?
Hi, Coach. How are you?
Doing great. Sorry. I apologize, guys. Being a couple minutes late, I had another emergency call that came in. I had to take it.
Yeah.
Listen.
There's no problem.
Yeah,
they never have to apologize to us. We're happy to have you on. You know what I mean?
Especially when it was an emergency. I mean, my God, we're just us. You know?
Right, right.
When your children call, it's always an emergency.
You know? I get that.
Especially when they're asking for money.
Yeah,
right?
I get it. I get it, Coach. No, I'm totally.
Yeah, that's normally the reason why they're calling.
Yes, we understand, Coach. I certainly do. Coach, let's start with this. Let's start. What was your thoughts on the Knicks trade getting Moutier? What was your thoughts on that? Let me start there.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that I just read something this morning about a comment from a member of his family, his brother, or I think it was his brother maybe, that said, the one regret we have is that he didn't go to SMU for a year and play under Larry Brown, where he would have gotten that much teaching and coaching and 30, 40 games of experience, and then come out and go to the NBA rather than go to China and play there for a year, where he basically could have learned the same thing going on in the playground and getting pickup games every day, as far as developing the head part of the game, and physically he would have developed more probably being at SMU. So, having said that, this is a talented young man, and it might be somebody that, as you're looking at the draft and seeing where you're picking and what's out there, is he worth taking a shot, taking a gamble on? That's what they look at. You know, when you're if it's a great draft and you have a lot of a certain positions that you need, then maybe you hang in the draft and don't do the trade. If it's light in positions that you're looking at, or you know the ones that could help you are going to get gobbled up in the first couple picks of the draft, and you're picking middle or later, then you don't have a chance of getting them most likely. So you take a chance. Once in a while, you look at a talent, you look at a young man who's in a situation that's not the best situation for him. Denver's guards were excellent young guards, and they're the guards of the future for that organization. So the fact that he could be gotten in an offer and a deal, can he come in now and make this thing work in a city that's a very tough city for young people to keep their concentration and keep their priorities in order?
You know, it's funny, when he went to China, I remember thinking, boy, if he gets drafted top five, because there was thoughts he could be a number one overall pick, number two overall pick, obviously didn't go that high. But if he gets picked high, becomes a superstar, this could be a new trend where these kids say, hey, I'm going to go to China. I'm going to go become a professional, wait a year, then enter the NBA draft. It seems like, as you were talking about, this really didn't work out. Does it kind of show the importance of it, even if it's only for 1 year, going to a university and learning more under a veteran head coach than just becoming professional and going overseas the way Moutier did?
Well, before I say yes, let me ask you this. When is the last time you've heard, because I haven't, about the Ball brothers who are not in China, but over in
Lithuania.
Europe,
yeah, right.
Lithuania. And I don't know if I've heard from them after their first game where they didn't score a point. And then, you know, they wound up getting out of the league and they put together their own tour. It was kind of like going on tour, like the Globetrotters would go from city to city. It was like they took their team and were putting them on tour against certain hand-selected teams so that those two youngsters could get more playing time and could get some stats. And I'm thinking, what a nightmare has been for those, for the two young men.
No doubt.
Forget basketball. What about their growing up as young men, the social aspect of being in school, being with other students, being with other people that are your age and learning about what life is all about. And instead, you've been shipped over to Lithuania where you don't understand the language and you're kind of foreign to the territory and everything.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, no doubt. Talking to Coach Mike Fratello. What do you think about the other one playing for the Lakers, Lonzo? What's your thoughts there?
Well, I've been reluctant from day one to throw out the greatness thing that everybody started from the day he came into the league. And is he a talented young man? Yes, he is. Could he be a terrific player down the road? Yes, he could. But he certainly has some holes in his game and needs to do a lot of work in certain areas. And this injury certainly didn't help him, missing a number of games that he's missed. But I'm really one of the guys that's reluctant to call. So even guys in the NBA now that are good players, I'm reluctant to say he's a great player. I don't throw the word great. Mm-hmm. Greatness to me is for certain guys, for certain players. LeBron James is great. Michael Jordan was great. Mm. Okay, but some of the guys that I hear people say, "Boy, he's a great player." He's not a great player. He's a good player, or he's a very good player. Mm-hmm. But
you're supposed to
be able to, let me put it this way: you're supposed to be able to make a bounce pass if you're a point guard in the NBA. If you shouldn't have, "Whoa, what a great pass!" That's a bounce pass. Okay, that's what part of basketball is.
That's a fair point.
Yes.
That's a fair point.
Yes,
we're
coach, talking
to Mike Fratello. I think the thing that annoys Knicks fans the most right now is they see a team that's not going anywhere, a team that's not going to make the playoffs, and they've seen this for a while, and they want to see Frank Ntilikina play more. They want to see Trey Burke play more.
Right. Ntilikina with Moutier, coach.
Specifically that. They want to see younger players get big minutes. As a former coach, is it difficult being in the position Jeff Hornacek's in right now where he wants to still win. He wants to save his job. And it seems like his drug is Jarrett Jack and not kind of unleashing the youth that may not give you the best chance to win individual games, but for the fan base and for the future, it helps you develop these guys.
It's a very good point. And think about the two youngsters that you mentioned there, Trey and Frank Ntilikina. What's going through their minds when the organization is bringing in another guy that can compete for their job, and yet you got the veteran guy there, who you can count on him most nights, and Jack. And you have to have a very, very special relationship with the front office where every day you communicate. And I'll give you two examples right now. One is Brent Brown down in Philadelphia. Think about how many years he's been there and what Philly has done. They were on the same page together, the coaching staff, front office, and even the change in the front office when Colangelo was brought in. But they understood the word process, that this was going to take a long time for them to get back, to get well. They built up draft picks, and now it's kind of paying off in dividends, and Brown is still coaching there. And the other one, I think, and it's short-term, but I hope it's long-term, is Kenny Atkinson with the Nets, where Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson on the same page, same philosophy. They understood what hole they were in. A big hole when they took that situation over, and that it was going to take time. But they play hard almost every night. Those guys come out and play hard. They've lost, I think it was, I checked a couple of days ago, in games 5 points or less, they were 5-5. And then they lost another close one last night, right? So these guys hopefully stay on the same page, and it allows you to build and make moves and decisions, and it's okay, and the coach is safe. When you don't have that genuine connection between the two, then you get a divide, then you get a split, and the coach is trying to survive. And how do you survive? You win games, and that's where you could have a problem.
Hmm. Talking to Mike Fratello, talking basketball with him, what was your thoughts on all the moves Cleveland made, coach?
Right now, after just a couple games, okay, we'll say that we'll give them an A+ today. Tonight they play Oklahoma City away. They come back home and they play 3 out of 4 back at home, okay, to end the month of February. And then March is a nightmare for them. They've got 9 away games, 7 home games. In those 9 away games, it's a 6-game West Coast trip in there. So we'll see how that works out. But right now it's utopia, kumbaya for everybody. But what these guys brought is something they didn't have, okay? They didn't have the zest for the game.
Right,
they didn't have the energy. Or you ask guys that are making the kind of money NBA players are making is play hard. Play hard at both ends of the floor. Try hard. Act like you really love being an NBA player. And that's what these guys that they just brought in here, that's what showed in that game up in Boston. The energy, the effort, the loose balls, diving on the floor, the reckless play, making the extra pass, putting the ball in the guy's hand that's supposed to be pounding it, making decisions, LeBron James. It's 25-year-old, three guys, 25. One guy, 31, that they brought in, who's been around, he's playoff-tested, he's cool, calm. It's the most pressure they've had on the point guard in 7 or 8 years in Cleveland when George Hill is guarding the opponent's point guard. So it right now it looks like an outstanding trade done by Kobe Altman, front office, and ownership.
It seems like you have the guys excited because they moved up in the standings, and it seems like that locker room is no longer the cesspool that it was beforehand, because it really felt like, besides the fact the team played no defense and there wasn't that zest for the game, like you said, it felt like everybody hated each other. And maybe Isaiah Thomas was the culprit, I don't know, but it felt like that locker room needed to be cleaned out, and at least for one day, for one game, they were able to do that.
You're right on target. It had become a locker room filled with separate islands, and you just decided which island you wanted to be on for that particular week or that month or game to game sometimes. And Isaiah Thomas said a lot of things that were not good or smart statements for a guy who's in the last year of his contract, but he was honest in a number of them. One in particular he made when he said, when things start going bad, everybody goes for themselves. And that's because of the different groups, the splintered off factions that had taken place there. And you get in a locker room when guys don't talk and not chatter and don't look at each other, don't want to sit next to the guy they're sitting next to. That carries out on the court. They don't pass the ball to the guy when he's open. They see him over there, but instead they pass to somebody else or they take a shot that they shouldn't take. And it was resulting in bad shots. The bad shots were, people looked like they were running 150 miles an hour and Cleveland was running 40 miles an hour in transition defense, and layup after layup, and then there was nobody to protect the rim. Changing in lineups to Ron Lou. I remember him saying way back in the beginning, maybe before practice started, he said, I have the toughest job in the NBA. Got a little chuckle when he said it. But he was right. He was right on the money. He understood exactly what he was getting into and how the conflicts could happen. And, you know, him trying to be the coach doing the right thing who had played 13 years in the NBA, he gave the respect to Dwayne Wade of starting him in the first couple games. Well, that pissed off J.R. Smith, because J.R. Smith was the starter when they won world championships and has been to three straight finals. You know, he made all these moves. Keep Isaiah Thomas on the bench, first game back, bring him off the bench. All of a sudden, he's starting in game two or three. They rushed him right back into it because Isaiah wants to be a starter. He had all of these balancing acts to do as a coach, which was so difficult. Losing Tristan Thompson, taking him out of the starting lineup. Then he comes back and gets hurt. They lose him for the, whatever, 30 days, 40 days. All of that was really tough for this guy. And then when they had all five of them maybe injured at one time, they win 18 out of 19 games, which was, yeah, less is more sometimes. But as they started to come back from the injuries, it got worse again. And that's what happened.
Coach, who wins the East?
If Cleveland plays like they did against Boston, then Cleveland's your favorite again, because they had energy. They made three-point shots, which has been their big weapon in the last 3 years of going to the finals. They have to make threes. Well, they did that on Sunday. Their defense, it was like they pumped all kinds of oxygen in at the defensive end of the floor to get these guys back. They rotated. They scrambled. They stripped. They blocked shots. I mean, all of that, they would be the favorites in the East if they continue to play that way and develop over the last 20-something games of the regular season.
Coach, we appreciate you coming on as always. Thank you very much.
Coach, always a pleasure, man.
Thanks for having me.
Right,
Mike Fratello, NBA TV, and the NBA on TNT. TNT will be the exclusive home for extensive live coverage of the NBA All-Star 2018 in L.A., February 15th to the 18th. Here is the team everybody forgets about. They are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They've won five in a row. They've lost four games at home all year, and no one talks about them. It's the Raptors.
Right.
And maybe this is the season, if especially, Joe, if they can get the number one seed, because what the number one seed means, obviously home court.
Home court.
But forget that. It's avoiding Boston, Cleveland as a second-round opponent. If you do that right now, you're facing a Milwaukee or a Washington or an Indiana in the second round, as opposed to Boston and Cleveland beating the daylights out of each other in the second round. Not that you have a bye to the conference finals, but you have a much easier road to the conference finals than either Boston or Cleveland. So that number one seed.
I would love to see the Raptors get to the finals.
Yeah, why not?
No, I'm in.
The head coach gets no respect. Brad Casey, Stevens has already been put in the Hall of Fame, Joe. Yeah, and Dwayne Casey, no one talks about. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah. They're buried in Toronto.
Well, that's really what it is. Yeah, I mean, look, the answer to the question is
Canada. And they don't have, like, the major, you know, DeRozan and Lowry, but they don't have that major player there. That's the other thing.
Yeah. I think it's the geography and it's the star power. But yep. I think the star power has a little bit to do with the geography because
right.
DeMar DeRozan's really good.
Yeah, no, he's very good.
Yeah, no, if I'm adopting a team, even though I had to go to war with them a few years ago in that game
no,
seven
I'd love
in that
to see
building.
Toronto get to the finals.
Absolutely. And their fans, man, they're good and they're classy.
No, they're good. They're good fans.
I like those people up there.
Very lovely city, too.
Beautiful city.
Yep.
Let's go Raptors.
There you go.
Coach Casey, no one may pay attention. We pay attention. We respect you. And if you want to come here and coach the Knicks, Joe will take you.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Absolutely.
Let me get a shot at Mark Jackson first, though.
Oh, come on.
Well, I would.
No, see, now you're disrespecting him.
No, I'm not disrespecting him. I want to see Mark Jackson coaching my team. That has nothing to do with Dwayne Casey.
No, I get it. And Mark Jackson did do a very good job at Golden State.
Yes,
I get that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.